Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I am broadcasting from this side of the virtual kitchen table, just happens to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hooray for warm weather. Hi, guys.
Yeah, ours isn't too bad, but we're a little cold here in Durham, North Carolina. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is RD Bill Holton. Glad to be with you. We are in Fort Durham at the other end of the table. And, of course, you guys already know that we are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com. And the short version of that is yourspiritualpractice.com.
Yep, that's where you find it, yourspiritualpractice.com. And you can find my website at paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find all my doings and goings and comings on my calendar, as well as the Absolute Word, which I try to get published Monday through Wednesday, sometime in that time period, for the upcoming Sunday. Hooray! When I'm on the road, it can be a challenge.
Yes. It is. Being on the road does make it more difficult.
Yeah, I have to rearrange.
But we do it, don't we?
But we do it. We do it with joy and enthusiasm. So, we are about to get romping here. So, guys, we are thinking, oh, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
Yes, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
Aha, and so it is, and we know it is for all of our listeners out there in Ethernet land. We are so grateful for those of you who listen and send us messages. And so we're going to get romping today with spiritual law. And just as a reminder, under the revealing word, divine law is a logical process by which principle or God manifest, or God as law is principle in action. And we are today looking at I am in action, the law of I am in action. And then we're going to do our break. And then we're pivoting to Bill's book, Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And we're looking at upskilling. And if we have time, use your inside voice. Just those few words is enough advice, right?
Yes.
True.
Wow. So let's get romping. I'm pulling up my document. I'm sure you have yours up on that end. And Cher, you've been reading. It looks like we have our first quote from Charles Fillmore, The 12 Powers.
Yes. And this is an interesting title for the law. It's I am in action. So it must be the law of I am in action, which is a mouthful. So let's see what he says about it. The spiritual life in the subconsciousness, and here he's doing a biblical metaphysical interpretation, just so we can kind of set the stage for that. I see that coming. The spiritual life in the subconsciousness, which is the children of Israel and Egypt, is often prevented from expressing itself by the opposition of the will. If the understanding decides that what it conceives to be the natural law shall be the limit of expression, there is further bondage and there are harder tasks. Any hard, dictatorial, or willful state of mind will harden the heart. This state of mind acts through the solar plexus, the distributing station for building forces of the body, and thereby brings its limitations upon the whole system. Hardened arteries are the result of hard thoughts. This hardness originates in the will. Jehovah represents the law of the I am in action.
That was really a mouthful, Cher.
Yeah, it was.
and here again, this is the only citation for the law of the I am in action and all of the written works. And once again, we do not really have a definition here, do we?
No.
No, it tells us what's wrong, but it doesn't tell us how the law of the I am in action works. We do know, though, that Jehovah is a synonym for Lord, is a synonym for Christ, is a synonym for the idea, and is the synonym for the Son of God. So and therefore a synonym for the I am. And all this is saying, really, if we think of the law of the I am in action, is somehow mind idea expression is activating the I am. And isn't that true, since I am is related to that?
Yeah. And for those of you who have done some reading in Buddhism, it would be a synonym.
A synonym?
Instead of a synonym.
Instead of a synonym.
Here I thought you were going to give me some amazing reference to the writings of Buddha. Where did we go? The usual place with Bill. You think I would learn overall?
I know. We never learn, do we? This goes back to the I am, though, the I am in action. I know we've done a talk that says what follows I am follows you. And it really talks about the power of what we say and how we view ourselves and how we set our own limitations by the power of our thinking and our words. I don't think it's just words. I think it's thinking and words, which then affect our actions.
Yeah. Oh, actually. And there's feeling nature in there. And it's interesting. They're talking about how willfulness can overcome what's operating in the subconscious mind, which I've never ever remember reading before. Isn't that what it says? It says
that's what it implies for sure.
Yeah. Now there's another thing this might be talking about, and that is Charles Fillmore believed that the superconscious expressed through the subconscious into the conscious phase of mind, which was sort of a pathway. And so he might be referring here of how maybe principle can be thwarted somehow by personal will. And we know we can do that with our personal will.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All the time.
Right. And ironically, in order to be able to do that, we are using principle in some way. So it gets all tangled up in like a pretzel.
Well, that's a good title for a book, Pretzel Theology or something like that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Enough said. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I just wanted to reemphasize that we have control. We have the power. Yeah. And this whole piece, to me, it's very powerful just to be aware of that, just to realize that if we're experiencing the difficulties, I like his analogy with the Israelites in Egypt and the 40 years of wandering, that we wander. Sometimes we feel like we're wandering, and what we're actually creating that problem ourselves.
Absolutely. And one of the most difficult things, I think, for to sink into the student, into their really practical use, is that no event, no thing on the outside can cause any inner experience. That inner experience is based on our beliefs and the state of our consciousness. And it might be in response to what's happening in the outer. The outer does not determine the inner. And this is related to that victim language, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I'd like to say something too, just listening to you two to sum up this thing. What's interesting is the subconsciousness with our patterns based on our past preferences, et cetera, which create those patterns in our subconsciousness, is not an indictment. We have the I amness, the power to turn an indictment into simply it might be an enticement if we're not careful, but we have the power, the point of power, the same title as your book, Paul. We have the point of power in our next thought, our next choice, our next action.
Yes, and that's my definition of new thought. We can always choose a new thought.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, you know, how the kitchen table works.
Yes. and we're off.
We get these little side conversations going because Bill and I are involved in taking a class right now, which is, it's really been an interesting, I have to admit, it's been kind of interesting with the dance of the triangles. But one of the things we did was listen to an interview by Brené Brown. And I'm sure you're familiar with Brené, and she's got a new book out, and so she's doing the book tour, and we listened to one of the interviews on that. But one little thing she said fits in right here, I think, because it talks about how once we get going on a certain thought process, it can affect everything. Oh. And she using the phrase, when somebody says something to you and you want to react, to say, the story I'm making up in my head about this right now is. And I love that because it's a kind of a non-judgmental way to say to a person, you know, when you said that, the story I'm making up in my head is that you don't really think I'm very important and you want to go do that. And yeah. It gives them a chance to clarify and say, oh, no, that's not what I meant. Yeah. And all of a sudden the conversation's going a different direction. Well, that's the I am in action. If you think about it, it's you choosing, am I going to go down the emotional victim path or am I going to go down the clarity creator path? And am I going to allow this person the opportunity to clarify what they meant?
Yeah. And another further clarification for our listeners is that when we're saying using the I am, we're really saying using the 12 powers. Mm-hmm. And once we know what the 12 powers are, and one of them is choice, the power of will. And yeah. So you just mentioned that, and we got to be using that power of will with a big dose of wisdom and understanding as well. So, yep. So the I am in action is how we activate and use the 12 powers.
Yep. Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can only do it by law. Mm-hmm. Right. That's another thing students have a hard time with is that we call them spiritual laws, but they're really laws of mind and how the mind works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love what you said earlier that they're always working. People yeah. say, well, that's not working for me. Well, yeah. You're not working it correctly.
Yeah. So a more accurate statement of that might be I'm demonstrating, but I'm not getting what I want.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah. Which again gets you thinking, so what do I need to shift instead of exactly. What's happening out there is yes. causing it. It's how do I shift this?
Yes.
And it is amazing. Just little shifts can transform totally what's happening.
And what you're demonstrating may not be what you want, but it's essentially what you've asked for.
So I don't know. It doesn't always, not always a conscious asking, but that is a deeper desire.
Exactly.
Whatever that is, that's a deeper and more strongly held desire.
Yep, that's how it works.
And that overrides everything. So there you go.
Yep.
Okay, so how are we doing time-wise? I'm wondering if this might be a good point just to go ahead and pivot, since I see we only have a few minutes. So instead of starting a new law, what do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let us pivot. And of course, Cher, you want to remind us of the retreat coming up?
Yes, it's coming up very soon. And we're very excited to say that we just got approval to offer SEE credit for this retreat. So excellent. People who are working on the SEE credits, they could really get a lot that whole week. They could come for the first part of the week and do the SEE you're doing at Chapel Hill, and then come to our retreat and get more SEE credit for that. So we're excited about it. But it's March 29th, 30th, 31st. And it's here in Durham, North Carolina. And you can go to yourspiritualpractice.com. There's a big link right there that says the Universal Harmony Retreat. Click on that, and that'll give you all the information you need.
That's great. And just a reminder, I am doing that spiritual education enrichment in the woods at Chapel Hill prior to that, the Monday through Friday prior to that. If you go to my website, you'll find a link about what classes I'm teaching and all of that. And it could be a great It could be a week that you could use to impact your life in magnificent ways.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Awesome. So are we ready to go to Bill's book? I certainly am. Reverend Bill, Unplugged and Unedited, Unrestrained, Unfiltered, Unfettered.
Unfiltered.
Remember the Uncola. This is the Unbill.
Unbill.
Okay. You guys must be talking about me.
Yes.
Okay, so we are, for those who have the book, and if you want to get the book, you can again go to our website and find a link to take you right to it. You can get it in book form, you can get it in PDF form, you can get it on Kindle. So we try to make it available any way people would like it.
Yep.
And we are on page 195, and we're going to look at a topic that Bill calls upskilling.
Upskilling.
Yeah, which is a word I think he made up. I believe. I've never heard that word before.
However, this is definitely one of those words that's dictionary worthy.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Right. Yeah. I
mean, some of them are fun and we play with. Another one. Describe what we're talking about.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what he says. Spiritual growth and unfoldment from Adam to Son are based on the voltage of your soul's urge for enlightenment and wholeness. Ooh, each sentence we could probably stop.
That is a deep sentence. Do you want to process that before we go on?
Yeah, maybe. You want to talk about what you meant by that sentence? It's so powerful.
Well, okay. The Voltes gets at what Paul writes about a lot, desire.
Yeah.
Think about it. And desire has absolutely tremendous, compelling voltage to it. And it depends on the amount or how much you desire for something to either manifest or desire for something, a limitation to not be a limitation anymore. But it really gets at the quote-unquote heart of the matter when you think about it.
Yeah, and I think every individual has the potential of that inner urge to do, let's just call it do better or to be better. In this case, you're saying for more enlightenment and wholeness, and isn't that, aren't we really intending something better?
Absolutely.
And as I was preparing for this session, I did note there is a law of soul's urge. Isn't that interesting?
Oh.
So that would have been fun to look at now, but I hadn't connected all the dots.
That's an interesting review.
Get to it.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to come back to this when we do that.
Yes.
Okay. So he goes on to say, your skin school experience has limitations, but not as many as you might think. That kind of goes back to what we just talked about, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because you are a spiritual being having a human experience, there are things, plenty of things, you can do to expand your awareness by upskilling your esoteric knowledge and experiential depth so you can enjoy being home, capital H, home.
This is so, so profound again. We get a personality, we get a body by limiting it, okay? By limiting something. And all the while, our consciousness remains unlimited with its full capacity and full potential. And so our physical bodies might be limited and the world around us is limited, but consciousness never is limited in that same way.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Cool.
And I got to say, with the movement toward transhumanism and post-humanism, we're going to find years from now, 5, 10, 15, 100 years from now, that again, we're not as limited as we think we are in these quote-unquote human bodies. When you combine us, if you will, with technology, which as we're speaking right now is happening.
Yeah.
Prosthetic devices, for example, even putting contacts in your eye, are our bodies using technology to enhance our performance.
Absolutely. And I love this last bit. So you can enjoy being home. You're not propagating the idea that somehow we're not complete and we got to grow our way home or we're trying to get home. Home is a state of consciousness. It's capital.
Yep. Yeah, we're already there.
Yeah, we're already there.
We're already there.
Yep.
Cool.
Nice.
Okay. Higher thought is a lifelong endeavor. It requires an open mind and a desire to comprehend deeper truths. Upskilling your spiritual perspective places you at the cutting edge of human thought. I'm going to say that one more time. That's pretty powerful. Upskilling your spiritual perspective places you at the cutting edge of human thought. It moves you past the limitations associated with concrete operational thought and the relative realm to allegorical and metaphorical thinking and the absolute realm.
And once again, I'm wondering, Bill, if it would be helpful for us to define allegorical and metaphorical thinking for the listener.
Yeah. Allegory and metaphor are simply a higher thought exercise, if you will, in placing comparisons on what things may mean, essentially turning nouns into verbs, if you will. It's just seeing people, places, events as qualities within ourselves.
Yes.
They're really exposing archetypes that we can all live by and hopefully learn from.
Absolutely. And I've often thought of that I am or the Christ principle as maybe being Uber of all of those. that the highest one that we can.
Yeah, that would fit.
And that's really what metaphysical interpretation of Bible, like when we read about Charles talking about the children in the Israel in of his Egypt
sure.
of Israel in Egypt, that was a metaphor.
Yes.
For what he was talking about, and that's really what. And we do it all the time. We use our dance background and use a lot of references to dance and say, this is like when you dance, or this is reminds me of, it's similar to.
And that's what I mean by upskilling. You're taking a literal content and quote unquote upping your consciousness into an allegorical and metaphorical interpretation of that literal text or literal statement. And that's what upskilling is all about. And one of the chief ways that we do that too, to put ourselves in a place where we can upskill, if you will, is the three of us. You've heard us speak many times about you're not, in our opinions, aren't going to get the traction you want for enlightenment unless you meditate.
And the beautiful irony of this is it's not really about dissing the everyday. It's about how we use the everyday to leverage and upskill our abilities.
Yeah, it's about enriching it.
Yes.
Enriching. Good, great word.
Yeah.
And I think one of the problems that we run into, and you probably do too, Paul, as you go around and teach, is that people haven't learned how to use that kind of thinking very well. It's not really taught.
Yeah, so a lot of people are stuck in the more concrete thinking of like a child in a way. Mm-hmm. And figuring out a metaphor, an allegory, a simile, and really understanding what those are and what they point to. And if that's the state of mind they're in, they're not going to understand most of poetry for that matter.
No. True. One of the activities we do in workshops lots of times, and it's a great way to get people started thinking that way, is we'll take a concept that we're working on, like teamwork. Okay, let's just say teamwork. And we have all these little gizmos we throw out. Yeah, we throw out all these little toys and little gamey things that people like to play with. And everybody picks one, like a little toy car or one of those little statuettes or stick a gum, a pencil, it could be anything. And that what they have to do is say, okay, teamwork is like whatever that item is.
Yes.
Come up with as many ways as they can to look at it. So if it's a pencil, it's like teamwork is like a pencil because we may make mistakes, but we always know how to erase them. We use the eraser to go through and correct it. And yellow, and yellow stands for caution, and sometimes teams have to be careful as they move ahead. So all of those are examples, and it's teaching people how to think beyond. And it's amazing how sometimes people have a problem.
Yeah,
they need help. Once they get going with it, they love it, but it takes a little while for them to know what we're talking about.
Right. And for me, the way I learned it, when we say a teamwork is like a pencil, that's simile.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And metaphorical, we would say teamwork is a pencil.
A pencil is a pencil. Yeah, no, like. Like is the simile.
Wait a minute. You get rid of it. When we have like in there, it's a simile. If it just says it is a pencil. Well, we know a team isn't a pencil. So we're referring to something, some capacity of the pencil.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And of course, you follow that up with the question. And the question is, do you get the point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're pretty sharp, Bill.
They have gotten the lead out here.
Yeah, right. Okay. I think it's time we just go ahead and pivot.
I think so.
Oh my gosh. We could have kept going on that and just bored.
It's time to write a new section now.
That's right. So we're pivoting now to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And we're actually looking at March 3rd, 2019. The word for the day was wholeness. And the affirmation is, I am divine, I express wholeness and health. I am divine, I express wholeness and health. Appearances are temporary impressions and not an accurate picture of who or what I am. If I face a health challenge, I bless my body for its restorative power supported by the principles of life, health, and wholeness. Despite any outer experiences, life, wholeness, and health are aspects of the truth of what I am. But divine life is a principle. I remember using meditation and claim with prayer. In moments of quiet reflection, I turn within to this inner wellspring of life. It enables the energizing flow of life in and through my body. I claim life, health, and wholeness to establish health and well-being to every part of my being. My heart beats and my cells vibrate with the energy of life. I am divine. I express wholeness and health. I express wholeness and health, or I express well-being and health, or any combo.
I love the last sentence of that, which says, my heart beats and my cells vibrate with the energy of life.
Isn't that great? Yes. Yeah. And so that's a sentence I pretty much left as is, because it was so.
Wow. What I like about what you've done here too, Paul, in the first paragraph where you're blessing your body for its restorative powers, what is really significant about that is a lot of people, when they're challenged by a major illness, for example, sometimes you hear people say, you know, that heart attack was the best thing ever happened to me, because it made me change my life, kind of thing. Well, no, heart attacks can kill you. They're not good for you. What was the point and you're giving here is, number one, you bless the restorative powers of your body. And number two, you choose to respond to the particular illness. And your response is what leads you toward a more a life enrichment and wellness, not the illness.
Which is riffing on what we said earlier, outer things, even our outer body, doesn't have the power to change your consciousness.
Exactly.
Influence it, but that's about it. And that's about it for today. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We trust there is another beautiful day in your consciousness ahead of you, and tomorrow and the next day. For now, this is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you, and thanks for listening.
You're welcome, and we affirm it.
We affirm it. Goodbye, everybody.